Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Baby, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby, we're going to have ourselves a show. No doubt about that. Baldy's going to join us at 7:30. We got Dalton Johnson later on in the program as well. Good morning to everybody out there. As you hear Tim Roy on the call for 95.7 The Game, the flagship of the Golden State Warriors, as they lose to the Toronto Raptors north of the border, a Toronto Raptors team. Not only did they lose to the Raptors by 3, 104 to 101, they lost to a team that had lost 16 of 17. That's right, the Raptors have lost 16 of 17. They were currently on the 5-game losing streak. They didn't have Emmanuel Quickley. They don't have any identity whatsoever. It's R.J. Barrett, it's Scottie Barnes, who I do like. I like Scottie Barnes a lot. Jakob Poeltl, every Warrior fan on Twitter's favorite center. But this is the reality. The Warriors are now 19-20. First time all season they've been under 500. They're out of the box. If the play-in started today, they would be out.
It's unacceptable!
And you're looking at Stephen Curry go 26-7-7, and Wiggins got his 20. But outside of that, no ball movement, 23 team assists. They got dominated in the paint by 24, 50-26. And this is the reality, Warrior fans. That last night was rock bottom. And there's no more sugarcoating what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. They have to make a decision at some point over the next few weeks before the trade deadline, February 6th. Are you going to make some moves? Are you going to stand pat and wait for the summer? Are you going to shake this thing up? Because right now, they're not a good basketball team. They're just not. They're one of the worst teams in the league since December 1st, Shasky. That's just it. Ever since starting 12-3, they've been atrocious.
I'm waving a piece of paper, and it's going to be the metaphor of my white flag. I'm waving the white flag as a fan.
As a fan?
Here's what I mean. Not that I'm like leaving the Warrior fan base. I can't watch that.
I'm out.
I can't. And your point about they got a decision. No, it's make a decision. I'm over it. Either we're going to tank and we're just going to sell off our pieces and we're going in on like whatever, Cooper Flag or whoever the hell it is in the draft that they think they're going to get. Like, I'm dead serious. Or it's just make a reckless move and just do something. You can't keep doing what you're doing. This is very analogous to when you have that vehicle and you take it to the auto body shop and the guy says to you, you know, the mechanic, hey, look, you got one of two things. You can either invest in this car that's probably worth like $3,000 or $4,000 and put a couple grand into it and maybe you get a year or two out of it, or you just chop the thing up and you go take it to the dealership and you try to get whatever you can get and you go get a new car. Like, that's where we're at right now with the Warriors. The engine's shot, the transmission's shot, the chassis's okay, all right, but the body stinks and nobody wants to drive it. And right now, the two people at the top, Goober and Lacob, and primarily Lacob, you've told me forever this is an entertainment product. Last night I saw that loss coming from a mile away. And when you become predictably boring and you lose in the consistent fashion with which they lose, squandering leads, you know, praying to God Steph Curry can hit a shot over three people late in the game all by himself, and you're just letting randos like Boucher destroy you?
Boucher's been balling.
No, I know he has, Dante.
17 in the fourth quarter.
How many NBA players? Right. Just how many NBA players do I have to name before the name Boucher comes?
Hey, Chris Boucher, 17 of his 18 in the fourth quarter. He's been on a heater. That was a revenge
fantastic
game for him.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. But, like, honestly, last night was the night that broke me. And so I don't even know what I want to do. Like, can make 1,000 arguments to just tank.
Well, let's
I can make 1,000 arguments to just, you know what? Trade freaking Draymond Green for Jimmy Butler and let's just, and whatever their combinations, and let's just ride the Jimmy Butler crazy train.
I'm dead serious.
Make a decision. Do something. You can't keep doing this. I can't keep watching Moses Moody and take calls from people on Moses Moody, who's not very good, and like, oh, why doesn't he play an extra 3 minutes? He's not good enough. This is not good enough.
Well, who was the caller last week who came at me? Called me a liar and this and that and said Moses Moody needs to start. Well, he played 14 minutes yesterday. He went 0 for 6. But this isn't about Moses Moody. This is about
watchability,
the team building, and their roster construction. And right now, look, I understand it. It wouldn't be much better with Paul George on a max deal. I don't believe it would be much better with Lauri Markkanen. So you're in this situation right now with the Warriors where you're not good enough to contend, but you're not good enough to take. So you're stuck in the middle ground of the NBA, which is not a good place to be. You don't want to be a 7, 8, 9, 10 seed in the NBA year in and year out. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to be able to get better. You're not going to be able to gain a lottery pick. You're not going to be able to get an impact player. And your cap is going to be hard cap. You're going to have a hard cap here to where you can't maneuver and make big-time moves. So Dunleavy and Joe Lacob, which Steph Curry will play to Steph Curry sound, Dunleavy's on the phone left and right trying to figure out what to do with this roster. And at some point, you're going to have to come to some hard decisions with this roster. The old way of playing with split action and everything, that still works here and there, but the read and react system with these group of players, it may not even be work, but here's the problem. You're slow and you're small. That is the worst combination in the NBA, and you're a little older. Your two best players are older, Draymond Green and Stephen Curry. You're small and you're slow. So even on a night when you play the Toronto Raptors, and look at the roster. Wow, RJ Barrett may have a matchup advantage. Wow, Scottie Barnes has a matchup advantage. Wow, Jakob Poeltl, you know, against TJD, that's a tough matchup for TJD. Every game, every roster has an advantage over the Warriors because they're more athletic, they're longer, they have bigger size, and right now, you're missing Jonathan Kuminga in a major, major way. So, as Brock Purdy's watching Sam Darnold throw up himself in the playoff game yesterday down at Glendale, Arizona, Brock Purdy has to throw the snap and he's making more money by the day, right? Well, Jonathan Kuminga sitting back with that ankle injury saying, boy, we're sure $30 million is a price point? What about $40 million a year? Because on this team, I think I'm worth a little more than what you guys all think. And that's a problem right now with the Golden State Warriors. So I want to get into a deep conversation about the Warriors and how they got to this point, because last night, Shasky, was rock bottom for me. That was rock bottom, I think, for everybody. I'm watching that game thinking, okay, they're up 86-77, and the Raptors close the gap right away. I'm thinking, they cannot lose this game.
Yes, they can.
They cannot lose.
Yes, well, they can. No, You've watched every game this year with a more fine-tooth comb than anyone else who's listening
right
now. No,
I know they can lose this game. I
saw that coming a mile away. A mile away. When Boucher hit the first teardrop three in the fourth quarter, it was Tim Hardaway was impressed with the amount of arc Boucher had on his three-point shot. I saw that coming a mile away.
No, Spadoni asked me last week, you think they're going to lose Miami in a back-end of a back-to-back? I said, what? Are you kidding me? I know what this team is. They're a 500 inconsistent basketball team. They're mid, as Stephen Curry says. So, yes, I could see the loss coming a mile away, but when you're in the fourth quarter, it's like, wait a minute. Are you really going to lose to the Toronto Raptors, who've got 8 wins on the season? Now, 7 of them came to Scotiabank Arena, which is their home court up in Toronto. But when you're watching, you're like, you're going to lose to Chris Boucher? Chris Boucher scored 17 in the fourth.
This team's not smart. Like, I thought Kyle Anderson was a smart player. He made a play last night, and I don't mean to just pick on him. He fouls Scottie Barnes thinking they have a foul to give. They don't. He goes to the free throw line. They split the free throws. They give up the offensive rebound.
And two more free throws. That was the end of the third quarter. They were up 7. They gave up 4 points at the end of the third quarter.
It was a microcosm of all my frustrations.
Not finishing quarters.
I don't care how much IQ they all claim to have. They're not a good team.
No, they're not a good team.
They don't do smart stuff. They don't execute. They can't close out. They're not athletic. Like, what do they do well other than squander leads?
So the end of the third quarter, they give up the 4 points, which is a big swing going into the fourth quarter because they're up 7, and they give up the 4 points, and you're like, that's free money that may come back to bite you in the butt.
It
came back to bite them in the butt. So what do they do well right now? There's not a lot of things they do well right now. There's just not, and it is the reality. Again, the Warriors, after starting the season 12-3, they were 12-3, and we're all high. Yeah. We're sitting top of the world. They're 7-17 since that point. They're 7-17 after a 12-3 start. So this is who they are, a 7-17 team. They can't stay healthy. They've got a revolving door starting line. They started 22 different starting lineups, all right? 22 different starting lineups. Folks, they played 39 games. 22 different starting lineups, and they played 39 games. Now, I'm the king of, hey, doesn't matter who starts, it's who finishes, right? But at some point, you got to figure, you got to have some stability with the first five to get off the great starts, right? Right? So they don't, and now your bench is depleted. You get outscored on the bench 41-32. You shoot 39% from the floor. You shoot 35 from three. Half of your shots came from the three-point line because you can't blow by anybody when it comes to dribble drive penetration. Everything is around the perimeter. And so you make the move for Dennis Schroeder, and the ball is sticking in his hands. It's like CP3 all over again.
Monte, I'm leaning, and I keep coming back to this. And I know people don't want to hear this. You don't do that with a Steph Curry team. You might have to. I think you might have to just start selling off all your pieces and just go full tank mode. I'm dead serious. They need to gut everything. Okay, you want to keep Kuminga? Fine. I would trade everything else. Wiggins might can be had. Someone would take him. I don't know if Draymond's tradable. Dennis Schroeder, I bet you somebody wants him. Like, I would start selling things off. Like, if you had to choose who to. I also wouldn't be mad if they just decided, you know what? We're all in on Zion. We're going to roll the dice. I know it's a huge risk. I don't really trust it either. But, hey, we're going to try. Like, anything, make a decision. Anything is better than what I'm, like, doing currently, because this is insanity.
Yahoo came out with an article, Vincent Goodwill, yesterday, and it came out before the game. And it was about the Golden State Warriors and their future. And Vincent opens his story up, and we're going to take calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. Golden State Warriors have gone from a team on a hot streak to a middling one, struggling to find the right formula to get back in the mix of the Western Conference contenders. Around the league, many are wondering if the team's front office and ownership have the stomach to make the necessary personnel moves to surround four-time champions Steph and Dre with a realistic shot at a fifth title. Somewhat surprisingly, Green is in lockstep with the way the Warriors have handled things. Despite overtures to the likes of Paul George over the summer, they stayed the course as opposed to going all in on any strategy. Green said, "The beautiful part about being in the space that we're in, Steve, Steph, and myself all disagree with mortgaging off the future of this organization, saying that we're going for it now," Green told Yahoo last Thursday. "Bad teams do that. Bad organizations do that. We're not neither one. However, I would say bad organizations stand pat. We just saw the San Francisco Giants hold on for dear life to their legends, to their legends, to their legends. Now here we are with Buster Posey and our fourth place NLS team. The league has evolved so much with terms of the style of play, having five threats offensively at all times, having two-way players who could do both things offensively and defensively, and not having specialists, and are getting longer and quicker. The Warriors are neither. So standing pat, if you want to stand pat through the trade deadline, that's fine. But what's going to happen in the summer? And can you sell that to the fan base? Can you sell that to the fan base? So I want to ask the Roasters, I think it's about them today and Dub Nation out there, what do you want to see this team do moving forward? Because last night was rock bottom. There's no doubt about that. 888-957-9570. Last night was absolute rock bottom.
Look,
so now what?
Like, now what is this? And like, you said goodbye to Klay Thompson for a variety of reasons. One of them was that you said you had to turn the page. And to me, like, you only turned half the page. Yeah. If you were going to turn the page, you turn the page off Draymond as well. Right? It's not an either or. To me, it's both. Like, they both needed, and I'm not even blaming them. I'm just saying, like, organizationally, they've been so slow to pivot. And to your point about the Giants, yeah, it feels like I'm watching the end of the Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford kind of stuff, where, yeah, every now and then they have a great series. You know, they have a great game or a great moment or whatever. But, like, you're not winning with a 37-year-old shortstop playing up the middle. You're not winning with a guy who can't stay healthy for more than 65 games in Brandon Belt, right? No, and it's the same thing that's what's going on right now with the Warriors. Like, all right, you wanted to move off of Clay, and he needed to go, and there's a variety of reasons. Fine. But you guys made a trade for Jordan Poole and CP3, and then you kept Draymond when Draymond was the reason that Jordan Poole went into the tank. They've made so many poor decisions, but to me, it starts with, if you were going to pull the Band-Aid, you pulled the Band-Aid off of both Dre and Clay, and his conversation with Yahoo or whoever the hell he was talking to actually drives me nuts. First part, dude, just play games. Stop talking about the future of the team. All right? That's for the ownership and the GM. I want you to just play. All right? I want you to play. Second thing, this is why all the youngsters have felt alienated forever. Because me, Steve, and Steph, and I get it, they've earned equity. Me, Steve, and Steph, we get veto power and we do things. You can have that. You can't say it out loud. Now you're creating a schism in that locker room, and just for everyone's psyche, it's us and then there's you guys.
Well,
like,
that's a
microcosm of why they needed to rip the Band-Aid off.
Well, the punch changed everything. I hate going back to that incident because things have just not been the same since that moment. I'm telling you, the vibes at Media Day, I'm walking around thinking, this team's about to go back to back. After hearing from Ron Adams, and remember Ron Adams was good enough to be a starting team in the playoffs. Dude, Ron Adams.
I feel like an idiot.
Ron Adams called us the day after they won the championship saying, quite frankly, I think we're ahead of schedule. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, and I remember Jordan Poole vibes, and Wiseman was back, and yeah, Kuminga feeling himself, and Dre was feeling good. And that incident, it just hasn't been the same since that point. And you lost the young guy in Jordan Poole, who's in Washington. They've only won 6 games. They're 6-31, but he's having career highs and everything, and it seems like he's getting his swagger back, and he didn't want to leave. And now when you look, you're saying, damn, you're small and slow. You have no explosion. You have nobody who can dribble, drive, penetrate, or blow by their guy. Well, Jordan Poole could. Jordan Poole could. So you had a tough decision there that offseason, but you decided to pivot off Jordan Poole because Jordan Poole and Draymond probably couldn't coexist in the same locker room. However, giving Draymond the $100 million to play nice, and then he gets suspended for 17 games the next season. And meanwhile, all the rhetoric towards Klay Thompson after not accepting the 2-year, $48 million deal, it just was, like, wait, what? What is going on here?
It's one domino after another. But Bonte, I think I want to make this very clear, and I think you agree with me. Jordan Poole's a good player. No one thinks he's some first ballot Hall of Famer that's going to change the trajectory of your team and you go from being an 11 seed to the 2 seed, right? No one thinks that. It's a microcosm of how relationships and dynamics have been had in that locker room, in this organization forever. It's not about Jordan Poole, the player. It's more about what it represents and how just I'm up here. I can do no wrong. You're down there and you're the reason why we stink and I will accept no culpability. That is the metaphor that just slaps me in the face when I view all that from 5,000 feet away.
Well, it's Warrior fans. I want to hear from them. 888-957-9570. We're going to get to everybody on the other side. Coach of Vallejo, Chris at San Jose, Mo down.